Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to U.S. National Elections. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. This evening, we have a candidate running for U.S. Congress out of New Jersey's 5th Congressional District. He is new to politics, but he's not new to helping people. Let's welcome to the studio U.S. Congressional candidate for the 5th District of New Jersey, James Baldini. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Chauncey. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you on again. I keep you and your family in prayers. I consider you a friend of mine. Hope all is well. You can start off for my audience, if you will, please, James. Talk a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll get into some issues.
Well, my background is completely social service. I've worked as an adolescent counselor. I've worked in a youth shelter. I've worked in County ARC. And, of course, my biggest thing is I've been a teacher for the last almost 20 years now. So I've been in the education field, but I've also been in the community in the 5th District for a long time, helping out those who I can. In many ways, it's not like an official organization, but I go and help my students out. I've had a few students who have struggled. I've always tried to be a mentor to my kids, but I've helped out with different organizations over the past years, helping to do different things in any way I can. So my last 5 years, I've focused a lot on my daughter. As you know, she's been, last 6 years now, she's been fighting autoimmune encephalitis, which is a disease that attacks the brain. And it's probably most notable from the movie Brain on Fire that's on Netflix right now, if you're interested in finding out more. But she's been fighting this for 6 years now, and we've had our ups and downs. She got better, and then she ended up in the socialist healthcare system of New York City. And I want to clarify something, because I got into a debate with somebody once who claimed that, you know, this could have happened anywhere. It couldn't have happened anywhere. To be clear, what happened to my daughter, in order for it to happen, the entire system had to go against her. And when I say the entire system, I was talking to the president of the hospital, and I was even in communication with the mayor who oversees the entire New York City health and hospital system. I was in contact with them, and they completely ignored our pleas, completely ignored our help. And not only is it a government-run system, but just the fears that we all have when it comes to socialized medicine came true to my family. And it's one of the reasons why I'm running. I work in my community, and I help my community, and I try to be a member of my community in good standing. But I think that it's time for us, all the things that I've been seeing and the lack of true education of what this evil can do to our country, it's time for me to step into the fight and actually go beyond just talking to people about it and fighting to, down in Washington and all over the state. I plan on fighting to help out with this election and beyond. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, thank you for your service to the community. I keep you and your family in prayers.
You're always welcome. Always welcome.
With your daughter. And yes, you're fighting for the people, and I'm blessed to have you on the show. And you are very passionate about helping people and serving people, and you've made that clear in your introduction. And that's why you're running for Congress. And, it's unfortunate what's happened to your daughter, but this is a reality. That this is why we do not need socialized medicine. I hope that things will, with the help of the Most High, work out for you. You're coming from New Jersey. You're coming from an area in New Jersey that is, I would call, compared to the city, the suburbs or more rural area of of New Jersey. What are some of the issues? I don't know if you have farming in your district. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly how the fifth spread out. I don't know if it goes to Warren, Somerset, or I don't know. I don't know the whole makeup of the fifth district. But what are some of the challenges your farmers been affected by the tariffs that we imposed on China? I guess we can start there.
Sure. The district goes from the Delaware River on the west with Sussex County. It goes all the way through Bergen down to and Passaic and all the way down to the Hudson River. So, I mean, it stretches across the entire northern band of New Jersey and goes down the western side towards the Delaware, down the Delaware towards about halfway down Warren County. And then that makes up the district. And, yeah, we, you know, Warren County, Sussex County, Passaic County are very rural areas. Bergen County becomes more densely populated as you move towards New York City. And so, yeah, we do have a lot of farmers. I know that I think that, you know, the farmers in our area, farmers in New Jersey have been on decline, at least in the north, or I should say they've been condensing. I've seen a lot of, I know there's a lot of, there's a lot more. I do know a couple families from my school who are still working in the business of farming, and it's a very, I have to tell you, I got very disturbed when I heard Bloomberg knock our farmers. I one of my kids that I used to take care of as an advocate was his dad was in charge of a farm, and he was, you know, he was taking care of this farm, and Bloomberg likes to, you know, knock our farmers, but this guy was a legitimate geneticist. He wasn't just a he wasn't just what Bloomberg described, a complete opposite. He had more education than Bloomberg. He was more knowledgeable on how an animal lives, how to run the farm. This was not a quote unquote dumb guy. This farmer was a genius. I mean, he knew far more than I did. I think when he says something like that, it's just disgusting to hear somebody say that. It's very disappointing, but it's just disgusting. The lack of knowledge of knowing, I mean, he wants to run our country. He doesn't even know what farmers are. Most of our country is made, you know, the land is farmland. And for him to say something like that is just simply just wrong. But as far as the tariffs, you know, yeah, of course, the tariffs have had some impact for all the farmers in our country. But I think when you get right down to it, this is part of Trump's bigger plan where he's going to be pulling back money from China. We have to fight China. China's our enemy, and, you know, we have to take it to them. And the farmers know this, and they are not dumb people like Bloomberg wants to say, Mini Mike, as he likes to say. They are smart people. They know this, and, you know, I know a lot of farmers who stand strong with them. Having said that, I think that Trump is doing the right thing with the tariffs, and he needs to do it. And, you know, we've talked about that, about it being a way to fight slavery across the entire world. But yeah, let's talk about some of the other issues you got in mind. I do have some things I have for my agendas for what I want to talk about towards the people in New Jersey for my district. I do have that if we could cover that.
Please, sir, please share that, Jim.
Well, you know, they always say three things. You know, you got to do three things. I can't imagine doing three things because there's so many things out there that I'm passionate about. But to boil it down, my first thing would be taxes. We have taxes in New Jersey, but taxes all over the country are too high. I wanted to do a 10% tax on anybody who makes $250,000 or less. 10% tax cut, not opposed to a tax deduction, because I think that will spur a lot of economic growth, a lot of spending for our citizens, and also propel our economy into the next level. I mean, Trump has done great. President Trump has done amazing with our economy, but it still needs the people to be buying stuff and wanting to buy stuff, and that'll help us keep a strong economy. That's my first thing. My second thing is healthcare reform, and you know my reasoning for that. My reasoning for healthcare reform doesn't just have to do with my daughter; it has to do with making it cheaper. I've heard families in the district tell me how much they're spending on getting their health care, and it boggles my mind. What they're spending and what they have to have for their deductible and what they're paying for their co-pays, it boggles my mind that they can even survive And so the reason for that, of course, is most of us are stuck with our employer. And because we're stuck with our employer, we have to, you know, get the insurance that they get, which is usually the lowest, cheapest, most affordable for the company, not for the individual. So I wanted to, and I'm sure the president would be on board first with the 10% tax, because he's talked about that, 10% tax cut, and also for the healthcare reform, because what I want to do is open it up to the free market. Why are we not making sure that these companies can't go across the entire country? You should be able to have, buy your insurance from any type of insurance company out there that has the plan that you want. And of course, you can't in the state of New Jersey. You have to go through an entire process to be acceptable to the state of New Jersey in order to have an insurance plan in the state of New Jersey, you know, be sold. So to me, that's garbage. Insurance companies know the risk, they know the liability, and we should be able to shop for our insurance instead of being beholden to our employer. We're not serfs of our employer. We're Americans, and we need to be able to take the responsibility of our own insurance. I mean, and I know people will say, well, what about the safety net? What about, it's not a perfect plan, but I'll tell you this, it's a better plan than socialized medicine, where my daughter gets locked up for 75 days for their schemes. And for their own purposes, self-serving purposes. But that it makes it available to a broader market and also makes it equitable by the nature of it, because it also drops prices. And the moment you drop the prices or the cost for things, because it's open up to 330 million people instead of the 9 million in our state, when you open it up to the entire country, you're going to see the price drop, and everybody will have a better opportunity to get better insurance. Not because government is subsidizing it, but because you, as the person, can shop for it like you do for any of your other insurance, your health insurance, or your life insurance, your car insurance, your homeowner's insurance, you can shop for those and you get the best deal. And so why, you know, healthcare should be along the same lines. If you're doing that, you're also making it, you know, that broader market is getting more people part of the same pool. And of course, Chauncey, my last one is, I don't mean to dominate the conversation here, but is education
this
reform?
Is
of course,
show.
I'm a teacher, right?
Yes.
I'm a teacher, so of course it's. I appreciate that, Chauncey. Yeah, but you know, I'm an educator, so I see education in that, and I'm very troubled by the things that I see. We have more. I'll say this: you can see from the more government involvement in our schools since the 70s. The lower our achievement, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, New Jersey's number one in our country. You know, our education's the best in the country. We're ranked against the other countries in the world, 39th for math and 24th for reading and science. That shouldn't be. It's not because we're spending less. We're not. We're spending par on par or better than most of those countries that are in the top tier. The reason is because we've allowed government to infect our teachers. Our teachers are, you know, some of us go to school for 6 years, 9 years, or 7 years, I mean, for our education. And who's telling us how to teach is people who've never spent a day in a classroom beyond 12th grade, other than to go to college. That's who's telling us how to teach and what to teach. That's troublesome because, you know, you're ignoring the people who know how to teach. And I'll tell you right now, Chauncey, you walk into administrators walk into a classroom, they're in most classrooms, they expect to see a teacher on a certain page teaching a certain thing at a certain time in a certain way. I mean, it's mapped out. It's mapped out like it's some giant plan. And that's not the way you teach students. 100 years ago, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with education in the past, but 100 years ago, students were taught mastery. Today, they're taught proficiency. There's a distinct difference. The proficiency is just beating the test. Mastery is actually knowing the subject. And so 100 years ago, when the seventh grader taught the sixth grader, supervised by the teacher, the seventh grader showing mastery of the subject to the sixth grader and proving it to the teacher. That was proven. That's the kind of thing that we know from, 100 years ago. And our kids learned more. They were able to be taught more. And at a lower grade level, they were the equal to a higher grade level today. The reason is because government has infected our students and our teaching methods. And, in the college level, We have student debt that's over. I think it was, I read some words, it's like $1.5 billion, some enormous amount of money. Maybe it's like $1.5 trillion, I think. This is outrageous. This is such a high number that we have our kids in debt. They're turning into indentured servants. And the reason why is an 18-year-old walks into a bank and asks for a loan for just like a car, they'll get turned down. But they ask for a loan for school, they get it no problem. It's like, you know, we're giving these kids money and they don't know what they're getting into for a life experience. And our colleges are completely abandoning them. They are, our universities are abandoning them. They're not even giving them the quality education they need, as you are more than probably well aware of from seeing. I think there's one Ivy League school that's no longer teaching Shakespeare in its English department. I mean, that blows my mind. Shakespeare is the greatest writer in the English language. They're not teaching it. And this is going on across the board. I think colleges and universities could co-sign. They should co-sign these students' loan. That puts the school in, you know, puts them responsible for that student. Right now, the kid leaves, graduates, not my problem anymore. And so now that's why we have 14% of the people who are driving taxis in the city, 14% of them are college grads. And as opposed to in 1970 when it was 1%. This, in 1970, Chauncey, I think you're old enough to remember, 1970 was not the best economic time in our country's history. And for that to be, we have such benefits now, such great economy today. 14% of our kids in the driving taxis, in the college degrees. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. And I could go on, but you know, those are my three major areas: the education, healthcare, and the taxes. We got to get our people to be able to afford to live their life, the American dream, as I like to say. We want our kids. We want our people to be able to, you know, heat their house, have the American dream, and, feed their kids. They can't do that now. They're struggling to pay the bills, even though our economy is doing so great.
For those that
especially
are tuning
in New Jersey.
Amen. For those that are, thank you, Jim. For those that are tuning in, you're listening to U.S. National Elections. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're honored to have in the studio U.S. congressional candidate James Baldini running for Congress out of the 5th District in New Jersey. We're talking about education at the present time. The educational system, yes, we have to revamp it. I mean, my son has 3 degrees. He's 27 years old. And looking for a job. You know, my son went to business school. My son got an associate's degree, and he got 2 degrees in economics and finance. But people don't want to pay either. And that's sad. You know, he straddled with some debt. And, most businesses want you to come in entry level, you know, working basically for peanuts, you know. And, you know, I'm almost trying to say maybe you should go to law school, spend 2 more years to go to law school, and then you might have some better options, you know. But you're right. Education today is not like it was, you know, in the 40s and 50s. You can graduate with an 8th grade education and have some common sense, some critical thinking skills, are able to write in cursive, you're able to balance your checkbook. You know, we have kids graduating with a 60% proficiency level, and they're saying that that's great and that's absurd. How can our kids compete in a global society when you're saying that 60% passing is good, and then the superintendent of a particular school district in New Jersey gets a $19,000 bonus? You know,
it's outrageous.
It is. The educational system, and I serve 2 terms as Commissioner of Education New Jersey on the Patterson Board. It has to be revamped. If these people in education want to make money, they should go into the private sector. You cannot treat education like a private sector. The only people that should be getting bonuses or merit raises are teachers that are on the front line of helping children. Administrators and staff, if you go to school to become an administrator, why should you get paid bonuses and things of that nature when you're already making a nice salary based on you being an administrator? It's really troubling, the educational system. I've even heard some candidates on the that I've interviewed nationally have even talked about basically dismantling the federal education system, money, and just disperse it to all the states.
Well, it's not a bad idea.
And
you know why? Because
it's not.
Every 4 years, a president comes in and they put out their plan, except for Trump, of course, he didn't do it. They put out this plan to fix education. We get the race to the top. We get, you know, all the, you know, the No Child Left Behind. And all it does is clutter up the system and make it worse for the teachers. It doesn't help us in the education. It just, it makes our lives more complicated. It makes our classrooms more complicated. It makes our, you know, the administrators' jobs harder. And then they demand more money. So, I'm sorry, I cut you off. I apologize.
No, you didn't cut me off. You know, what you're putting out there to the American people is more important. I'm here to help you get all your points out. This is your show. You know, Jim,
I appreciate
you know,
that. I appreciate that.
You know, the listeners and the voters have to listen to you, which is most important. And I'm glad for your enthusiasm and your passion to want to serve the American people. You know, I've noticed by interviewing hundreds of people this year for the 2020 election, there was an article I read recently about the number of amount of conservative candidates or Republicans, even though this particular platform, U.S. National Politics, is a neutral platform, but you happen to be a Republican and I happen to be a conservative as well, that the rise in Republicans seeking federal offices has increased dramatically. And that's a good sign. Because most of the people, if not all the people that I've spoken to, have served in the military or have served in a social, have in a public servant background where they're helping people like yourself, whether it's teachers or social services, working with people in their community. Some people are already gauging and fixing the problems, like in California, Joe Collins running against Maxine Waters. He already engaged a job program. You know, to try to help facilitate the people in Watts that need work. So, you know, a lot of Republicans are doing a lot of great things like yourself across the country. And we're very thankful that we have a great bunch of candidates, Republican side, running for the lower house and the upper house this year.
You know, and I think it's important, too. The candidates that we are fielding are not just, you know, more bankers and lawyers. We're fielding the everyman, and that's part of. I mean, that's actually part of my campaign. Is I'm the ordinary average person. You know, you can't get more average than a middle school teacher. We live and breathe the lifestyle that we go. We deal with the kids. We talk to the families. We work with the families. We try to help them. We hear their stories, and you know, this is the front line of our families. And but a lot of times what we do is, you know, we're hiring these people to be our representatives down there. They're so interested in getting their next contribution. They want to ignore us. And it's hard for me as a teacher to think about me ignoring, you know, the kids that I have in my class, their parents who I talk to. It's hard for me to think that I could ignore their concerns, these kids' concerns, when I've been living with it for 20 years. And you know, for lawyers and bankers and stuff, they can walk away from it. Even business people, they can, to some extent, they can walk away from it. But you know, my brother, he's a public defender, and he tells me the stories, as bad as some of the kids that I have, you know, they're dealing with, are struggling even more. They're struggling even more. You know, he has our families are in such dire straits that to me it's like we need to get out there and fix this system. It's not, I think I said it to you before, this is not a, you know, Trump only fight. You know, this is, he's going to win in November, and then he's got 4 years. What happens after those 4 years? Who's going to carry the mantle after that? And that's where we as Republicans need to pick up that mantle as a team and carry it over the goal line. And keep on pushing that forward, because he's not going to be the one who's going to be the lightning rod. Who's the next lightning rod that's going to take the hits and fight back for us? Because that's what he's doing. He's the wall. He's the wall protecting us while we're fighting to take back our country. You know, I've always believed in God. I've always been connected in some way, and you know, I've had my struggles with understanding why certain things happen. But I've come to recognize that one of the reasons why my and I you know I hate to say this, but my mom got sick. She died of cancer, and when that happened, my life, the bottom fell out. And I wonder why would God do that? And I realize now, with going through with what my daughter's going through, the reason why I went through that trouble in my life was to prep me for this, for this, getting my daughter better, and also for running. And you know, when you go through that, when you have that traumatic loss in your life, it matures you, but it also prepares you for the next one, because life is about a series of ups and downs. And I welcome this challenge. I mean, I welcome this challenge. I welcome arguing and discussing and figuring out solutions with my opponents. And I plan on turning Washington D.C. red. You know, we need to turn the upper lower house and keep the president, you know, Republican. That's what we need to do. We need to turn them as Republican bastions. You know, that's what they should be, not socialist hovels.
I agree. Unfortunately, we're out of time. For those who would like to volunteer, contact you. It's like we never have enough time when you and I get together, but I'd be more than willing to have you back on my show again. For our audience, please share your information. If they'd like to donate or volunteer, how can they contact and get a hold of you?
Definitely. My website is real simple. It's votebigjim.com. Can't forget that, right? Vote Big Jim. But the social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook is the same, Vote Big Jim. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and, you know, definitely I'm always looking for volunteers. We're always canvassing the neighborhood. I got a good, strong team. My campaign team is solid, and we are taking this to the streets, Chauncey. We are not going to bow down. And I hope in, you know, June, you'll see that this is a victory, and we're going to talk between now. But, you know, all of your listeners, I hope that they, you know, come back after June and they hear me talk about how I'm going to beat Josh and take back our district.
Amen. I wish you the best of luck. Yeah. I want to thank you for being here today. As you know, we've become friends. I keep you and your family in prayers. Please join us this Wednesday at 11 o'clock p.m. We're going to have Robert E. Smith, congressional candidate out of Missouri's 4th District, going to be on at 11 o'clock p.m. this Wednesday. Robert E. Smith for Congress, Missouri 4th Congressional District, is going to be on the air with us talking about Missouri and the nation. For those who want to follow us, you can follow us at U.S. National Elections on Facebook, and also you can follow us on Twitter at U.S. Elections Now. We want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to U.S. National Elections. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, and a safe evening.